Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Faxon. And thank you so much for joining me today for Favor of Life, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight to the destiny, call, and purpose of God. In this 15-minute empowerment, we are going to be encouraged in not only our walk of faith, but the process of our walk of faith. We go through a process, and we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we learn of him, as we receive his life, his word, believe it, walk in it daily. We become more and more like him. We're changed line upon line, precept upon precept, like grace to grace. And we see the authority of God in our lives moving us in a direction where he is glorified, where we see ourselves becoming less and less, and we see his authority, his power, his character, his word, his life, his truth living in us more and more. We become that which is necessary to the world. We become that salt. We become that light. We become that which shines so brightly that it attracts and draws men. And because of the curiosity of the drawing, they hear a message that sets them free. They hear about a God who died for them, who loved them so much that he suffered and that he rose for them in all power, taking dominion over everything that would ever attempt to try to keep them down or keep them living beneath the privileges of what God has already provided spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and financially. So we serve a God that uses us in that capacity, and we're so grateful to be used by God, called by God, because we didn't call ourselves, we didn't choose ourselves. He called us unto his kingdom. He called us into his family. He called us through salvation. And once we receive the call of accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior, this is not talking about a position. This is talking about salvation. Once we receive that and we come into the family of God and we come through the blood of Jesus by grace and he becomes not only Savior but Lord of our lives, he begins now and we begin to live for his lordship. We live for his purpose and his plan. Our lives are no longer our own. They are his. So once we do this, we begin to grow and learn of God and taste and see that he's good and understand him. And even as we go through the process of our faith growing, process of allowing our faith walk to be tried and believing and standing on the word of God, we see the demonstration of his power. We see his saving grace. We see his word, his will come to life inside of us. We see the faithfulness of God like never before. We have been looking at unlikely places of blessings in this series of that we've been going through, and we're getting ready to finish up with David's process. Today will be the last day that we will study David in the place of being chosen by God for an unlikely place of leadership and rulership, but it's an unlikely place of blessing because God then comes and he authenticates what he does in David's life, and he makes him the ruler of a people, of a nation that David himself did not choose, but God chose for him. So we're going to go today and we're going to finish up the first chapter of Samuel, first book of Samuel, dealing with David. And we're going to end it with the 31st chapter. And we're just going to understand a little more how God can allow you to see two men in this study, and one who was chosen by people and one that was chosen by God, but how the behavior and the conduct of the one chosen by the people does not exemplify the character of God, and that's why God chose David for his own. So we're going to go there. Overview of this is this on the 30th chapter. David has now become, he's been sent back to Ziklag. When they get back to Ziklag, him and his 600 men, the Amalekites have come, and they basically have raided David's place, where he and his family, his men are staying, their children, all their possessions. And they have raided, they've taken all of the children, they've taken the wives, they've taken everyone that was there. And because David and his men understand the process of war, many of them were very, very grieved, and they were not able to travel with them. After David inquired of the Lord if he should pursue, the Lord tells him to pursue and overtake because he's going to recover all. There are times in our lives that God will cause us to pursue something, and we might not feel within ourselves that we can, but you have to be like David and encourage yourself, because David's men were so hurt and discouraged that they were talking about stoning him. So he had to go and he had to encourage himself, build himself up. As a leader, you're going to discover, as a believer of Jesus Christ, you're going to discover that you have to encourage yourself when things are bad, when things are not looking the way that God says, when things have gone in the direction that you never expected, when there's grief, when there's sorrow, when there's pain. You have got to encourage yourself in the Lord and believe the report of the Lord and believe what God is saying to you about you. Believe what God said concerning your life is going to manifest. And you hold on to that word and you give God back what he said, because what he says will never fail. What God says to us will never fail. So we have to stay planted. We have to stay in the will of God. We have to stay there and live under that grace saying, God, help me every single day. You know, my friend, you know who I am. You know what you've made of me. And you know that I am dust. And I'm subject to fail, but God, let your grace and your mercy be there. Protect me, help me, lead me, guide me with your spirit. Help me to do all that you're saying, and not my strength, but yours, with your understanding, with your mind, with your heart. And when we pray these prayers of faith and we believe and stand on the word of God, God is going to do something miraculous, though it does not yet appear, though you don't even see it. Give me a minute. Don't blink on me, because you're getting ready to see God change some things in my favor, on my behalf. David goes through a long process. This didn't happen overnight for him becoming king. He goes through 17 years of allowing God to change him and make him, and that's a long time, but God knows exactly how long it's going to take to move and to change us and to shape us for what he's calling us to. So don't rush the process. Understand that it's making you for the glory of God. So we see that David goes in, and he, after the raid in the city and all the children and wives and possession are taken, they go and they start pursuing, and they do overtake. Now, some of the men, once they overtake these men, some of the men in the troop basically stayed back because they stayed with the rest of the supplies that they had already had left. And so when the victory came and the troops returned home, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 30 and 22, it calls them wicked and worthless men. Now, David was training up these men to have integrity and character. But this is what you have to understand as a leader and as a believer. You cannot force someone to choose to do it the way that you know it's right. You can only present them with the truth, show them the truth, live the truth, and it's their choice. Now, David had 400 men that first found him, then 200 more were added. These men that were added, there was some in there that their character, no matter how David lived, no matter what he showed them, no matter how integral he was, they still were numbered and named with the wicked and the worthless men. They were still there. They did not want to choose to live in a way that exemplified God. All we can do when we preach the gospel, when we teach the gospel, when we witness to people, when we live our lives, when we remind them of God's purpose for their life, all we can do is present it. It's still their choice. And if they choose not to do it God's way, then they are responsible for their choice. But you have presented to them the perfect will of God and not the permissive. You presented to them the way that God chooses for them to live and the atmosphere and the environment that he wants them to live in, the climate of his divine purpose and his divine will. They still have to choose it to do it his way. Now, these men said once they got back that they didn't want to give the spoils or share the spoils with the men that stayed there. They didn't want to give them anything because they stayed behind. David resolves this conflict by declaring that since God had given them victory, even those who had protected the supplies had played a role and therefore should receive equally the portion of the plunder that belongs to them. Now, that is a leader that understands more than just giving them. He understood what he was doing. When David understood that partnership, that he needed these men, not just in battle, but he's going to need these men when he transitions. He's going to need these men to be allies because many of them were from different places. He's going to need these men to build alliances with and to show and demonstrate God's power with. So he understood that this was not just about money. This was about a spiritual impartation, a spiritual joining. So David and his leadership basically are seen in this very act being developed. He's seen here being developed even more by choosing to walk in integrity in what is right and what is righteous, and not sow discord and discouragement and despair and separation and division. With this, we see that David's leadership helped others to see the contribution of every man's gift. He's letting them see every man has a part, everyone plays a part, everyone has a gift, and God's going to reward or give back to him. He also reminds everyone that God was the true source of the gift and their victory. So it's God who's given and blessed them. So they need to look to God, not look to themselves. It also promotes goodwill and with potential allies. He's building strength here. He's building leadership. He's building men. He's building teams. He's building trust. And he also enables David to prepare for the future and to make friends over all Israel so that they will see and love him and want to be, follow his leadership. And finally, this develops a nationwide value of material benefits and good faith. He's doing stuff in every aspect as a good leader, as a good person wanting righteousness of God. Now, as we close, we're going to see here that this is the chapter where we see that things are ending for Saul and his son. And the book of First Chronicles 10, 1 through 14, gives detail, the imagery of details that we need to see and understand about all that took place concerning death of Saul and his sons. It lets us hear and see and read those details. But here it's just telling us some of the things that happened. Now, this is the end of the tragic death of Saul and his son. Saul had four sons. He had four sons, and it seems as if three of them showed up, because once Saul is killed, Abner then appoints the last son that is left to try to be the king after Saul's death. So one of the sons did not show up for battle, but Jonathan was one of the sons that was there that was killed in battle. Now, the Israelites and the Philistines were in a fierce battle, and it was very fierce, and they pursued Saul fiercely. They pursued him fiercely. And what happens is that in the midst of this battle, his three sons are killed, including Jonathan, and Saul is wounded. He's wounded very severely, and he doesn't want the Philistines to get him. He doesn't want the Philistines to have him, so he says to his armor bearer, kill me, don't let me get captured by these men. And in all of this, Saul never repents. His life is now before him, and he never repents. He never calls on the name of the Lord. He never says, God, help me, God, save me, God, deliver me. He never, ever returns back of God in his heart or in his spirit. This is a place of outright rebellion against the will and the word of God. He's never acknowledged God. He's never acknowledged God at this place. And now he's at this place of death, and he still will not call on the name of the Lord. We cannot allow pride to lead us down a road that we never, ever want God back in our lives. We have to remain humble, and we have to make sure we get rid of all pride and haughty spirits, that we're constantly saying, Holy Spirit, Word of God, search me, and get rid of anything that is not pleasing. Don't let pride be there, because pride and destruction go hand in hand with the haughty spirit, and I don't want that. You shouldn't want that in your life. So he commits suicide, basically. He kills himself, and his servant, when later on in chapter 2 Samuel, we see that the armor bearer goes and he tells David about this, and he takes pride in saying that he killed Saul, but he really didn't. And so because of that, David kills him for touching God's anointed. But we see that this is the end of a man who would not turn to God. But we want to remain in a place where God can always use us, and we can be humble before God. And we want to humble ourselves, because we don't want God to humble us. So my encouragement to you is always make sure that in all of your ways you acknowledge God, you humble yourself, live humbly before Him, and ask Spirit to search you. This is all the time I have for today. We'll be back next week with a new study, and we'll be ready for it to hear what God says. Have a blessed, wonderful worship experience this weekend. Love God, serve Him, and know that it's already for your good. In Jesus' name, God bless.